And we're going to continue our study in 1 John, right? And 1 John is a book written to believers, to those that are in the family of God, right? And it's a book about John's emphasis, his main theme is fellowship between us and the apostles and Jesus and God. Now, you might be saying, Alan, you know, we know this. You don't have to tell us this every week. But I think it's important that we have this in mind as we look at our passage for today, that John wants us to have fellowship with God. But fellowship can also, it has this connotation. It could be interpreted partnership, right? That God, we're in a partnership with God. We work together with God, right, to take truth to the world, to proclaim Jesus Christ to the world, because life is found in God. True life is found in Him through Jesus Christ, right? And we want the world to understand that. God wants the world to understand that. So He partners with us to do His business in the world. And we have fellowship with Him. We have a partnership with Him. And it's this mutual thing that goes on so that we can participate with God in what He's doing, so that we might have joy. So it's, you know, it's important when we look, when we read the scripture, and it's important for me to say, why is this teaching important to us? What we're learning today, why is it important? And I think it's so that we can experience life, that we can experience joy in our life, whatever that might mean, okay, that we can experience, because life is found in through Jesus and God, okay? And He helps us understand that in what we're going to see today. Now, last week, the main lesson was that love for one another is the primary defining ethic for the church. Okay, there's basically two systems. There's the family of God, and there's the family of the world, of Satan. And the defining ethic, what's right in here, what's defines us, what clarifies things for us, is love that we have for one another. And we learned that we should, that love is defined by Jesus, okay, and that it's seen in that He gave His life freely and sacrificially for us. And John says that we should do the same for our brothers and our sisters, that and that we should love in deed and truth. Let me read. He says, by this we know love, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. But if anyone has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and yet closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? So that was the teaching from last week, that we need to sacrificially and freely give of what God has given to us to our brothers and our sisters in need. And then he closes last week. He says, let us not love in word or tongue, but in deed and truth. And I think that deed is the act of giving, right? And truth is the motive for us giving, right? Truth is what goes into my heart that stimulates me, that motivates me to give. The deed is what goes on with my hands, and the truth is what goes on with my heart. So let me ask a question. Is it possible for us to give tremendously out of what we have? Is it possible for us to give to the poor and the needy, to others, everything we have and do it for the wrong motive? Is that possible? You would think that if I'm going to do this, it's got to be from good motives, but is it possible for me to do that? You know, Paul says, if I give all my goods to the poor, you know, if I give my body to be burned, if I sacrificially give my life, if I give everything I can to the poor and have not love, it doesn't profit me anything. You know, and the passage for today, which is verse 19 to 24, John 3, 19 to 24, speaks to this issue of motive, I think. You know, so it's what we do is important. For us to give sacrificially from what we have to those in need is important. But the why we do what we do is important also. And maybe it's more important. The why, what goes on in my heart that drives me, that motivates me to do what I do is extremely important. And John speaks to that today in this passage. And I think what he's saying is as we participate with God, as we're in fellowship with God, our heart, our motives must be aligned with God's motives, right? Our hearts must correspond with God's heart as we participate with him. Okay, so let me read. We're going to start John chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, starting with verse 19. Verse 18 said, let us not work just in deed and tongue, but in, not a word in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And he says, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before God. Truth is important to John. He mentions it time after time after time. You know, there is no hypocrisy with God. There is none. God is true. And everything he says is true. And everything he does is accordance with the truth, right? He is trustworthy. He will always be found trustworthy. There will never be a time in eternity that it is discovered that anything that God said was not true, or anything that he did was not according to the truth. God is our Heavenly Father, the King, the sovereign of the universe that we are in fellowship with is true. You know, Satan wants us to believe a lot of lies. And John, like I said, it's important to him. He mentions a lot of aspects of the kingdom of God that are true. And then he counters them. He says, but Satan's trying to get you to believe a lie. And when we begin to believe a lie, then the whole fellowship, the whole partnership that we have begins to fall apart. And we understand that. When we were following someone and all of a sudden we found out that they lied in the past or that they're lying about something now, and it's like, I just can't trust you. This was cool and I like working for you, right? And this has been a nice workplace, but I just can't trust you anymore because I see that you're not 100% true and I don't know if you're being true with me today or not. It's the same thing in a marriage. Right, if we found out that our spouse has not been true about something, then there's always a seed of doubt, and it begins to the fellowship begins to disintegrate. And John says, how do we know that we're of the truth? Because being of the truth, we're like, you know, it's like the fellowship of the ring, right? we as Creekside Bible Church, we're of the truth. We represent God who is 100% true. And then he says, and reassure our heart before him. How do we know we're of the truth? And reassure our hearts before him. You know, the heart is, you know, our inner person, and in our heart live our motives, our desires, our emotions, our dreams, okay, our fears. And so how can we go before God and say, you know what, my motives are pure. My motives are completely aligned with your motives. My heart is right before you, Lord. And that's the question that he's answering is, you know, we know, how do we know that we're of the truth and can have a confident, sure heart before God? So how do we do that? You know, if God was to examine my heart with respect to my loving my brother, you know, how, what would God say? Would I be comfortable with God knowing what's going on inside of my heart? You know, would I be comfortable God knowing why I do what I do with respect to charity, or with respect to doing good? Would God be comfortable knowing why I don't do what I don't do with respect to that? You know, I might give a lot of money, right? I may do a lot of good things, but I choose to do good things to this group of people, right? I give my body to be burned for this group of people, but for this group of people, I'm sorry. I shouldn't do that, should I? I shouldn't do that, should I? You know, for that group of people over there, right? For this group of people, I'll do good. But for that group of people, I'm not going to do good. But I'm doing good. I gave my body to be burned. I sold everything that I have, and I gave it to this people. Look what I did, Lord. He says, well, Alan, why didn't you do it for those people too? Why did they get excluded? So it's not only what I do, it's why I don't do what I don't do. Would I be comfortable with God examining my heart? Can I assure my heart before God? That's what John is proposing here, right? By this we know, and he gives us an answer. And he says, for whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Now, this word condemns only used three times in the New Testament, and it's basically to be called out as a hypocrite, to call someone out as a hypocrite. Paul did it to Peter when Peter came down to Antioch, and Peter was doing one thing, but when the other people from Jerusalem came up, he started, you know, he was eating pork, right, with the Gentiles, and when the Jews came up from Jerusalem, he only started eating, you know, meat again. And Paul said, you hypocrite, you know better, your motives are wrong, you want to curry favor with these people, so now all of a sudden you're changing your message. And Paul called him out. And the other two times we see this word are here. You know, is our heart calling us out as hypocritical? Right, Alan, you know what? You're trying to lie to God. And you know it. Your motives are wrong. You're doing this, but you've got a different heart down here. And he says, if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. You cannot hide your heart from God. Right? God reads the heart. That's what he does. This is an important truth generally, right? That God pays attention to our heart. Luke 16, let me find it. He's talking to the Pharisees. He says, you are those who justify yourself before men, but God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. You know, is my heart okay with God? My heart's saying, Alan, something's going on here. You're a hypocrite, bro. God knows. He's greater than the heart. A heart can't hide from God. And he knows all things. You know, in Psalm, we quote, or we know Psalm 139. We talk a lot with respect to abortion, right? How fearfully and wonderfully made we are. That psalm talks about, you know my thoughts from afar off, O Lord, right? Before there's a word on my tongue, you know it. You read my heart. You know what's going to come out of my mouth. And he says, there's not a place I can go. I cannot hide from you. I can't get in the deepest, darkest, lowest canyon on the earth, right? And you not know what I'm going to say to my friend there. Because before I say it, you know it. I cannot hide from him. He knows all things. So then he says, so what do we do, right? And he says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God. So he's saying this idea of confidence is to speak boldly, right? This, when this word is used, it's 99% of the time is used in, I had confidence to speak. I spoke with confidence. I was assured. I went up to the person and I talked to him, and I told him what was on my heart or on my mind. I spoke boldly. So if our heart doesn't condemn us, then when we go before God, we can just speak to him boldly, right? Like a friend. You know, have you ever had someone in your life that you were just like, you know, I'm just not sure I can ask him this question. I'm not sure I need something, but I'm not really sure that I'm not going to talk to him because he's going to say no, right? Or he's in a bad mood, right? So it's best that I just, you know, or I'm not sure that person likes me very much. So I'm just, you know, I feel bad. I'm not bold enough to go talk to them. You know, for me, with my kids, I want my kids to be able to talk to me. I want my kids to come in and say, you know, hey, Dad, can I borrow your car? I may say no, right? But they know that if I say no, it's because I love them or I got a reason or whatever. If they're not afraid to ask me. I don't know, you ever have anybody that you just, and it's better, I'm not even going to ask them, I'm just going to take the keys, right? Because my relationship is such that, you know, we have a joke in our family. If Ann's listening, I hope she's didn't get offended, right? But our third child, our first daughter, like, Alan, you've never told her no in your life. Right, and if we ever wanted something, we always told Karis, go ask your dad, because he never tells you no, right? Hey, let's go out to eat tonight. Well, Dad's going to say no. Send Karis. He'll tell her yes, all right? So, Phil, I know you're not that way. You've never been that way, right, that you're just with everybody. But there's some truth to what they say. But we had this relationship, right? She has confidence before her father, and that's what he's saying. If a heart doesn't condemn us, we have confidence before God that we can talk to him. And then he says that, beloved, and whatever we ask of him, we receive from him. So if our heart doesn't condemn us, okay, and we go before God, we have what he's going to answer our prayers. He's going to respond to our request. And I'm getting a little lost here, okay? And the issue is not whether or not your heart condemns you or not, the issue is whether your motives are aligned with God's motives. And if our motives, if our heart is aligned with God's heart, all right, such that it's not going to condemn us, then when we go to him, he says, yes. Then he also says, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. So if we're aligned with God, if our motives and God's motives are the same, right, and we're doing what we're keeping his commandments and we're doing what he wants, then we are in harmony with God. And he's going to give us what we ask. He talks about it in 1 John chapter 5. He says, now this is the confidence that we have in him. The confidence, right? That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, we have the petitions that we ask of him. So if our motives, if our heart is aligned with God, we're keeping his commandments, we're doing what he pleases, then when we ask, of course, what we ask is going to be in accordance with his will. And why would he not do what was in accordance with his will? So we know that we have the petitions that we ask of him. So we pray and God answers, and we pray and God answers, and it helps us know that we are aligned with the Father. You know, and I think it puts us in a best workplace environment. And you may say, Alan, what are you talking about? Okay, I think it's important that we remember about this idea of fellowship and participation, that God is invited us into a partnership with him, and we are working with him to accomplish his purposes on the earth, right? Creekside is working with God at this time to see his purposes fulfilled for this area, right? And when the motives are aligned with God's motives and we keep his commandments, right, and we do what pleases him, then he works and we get to see him working because we talk to him about it and we see it. We talk to him about it and we see it. It may not happen exactly like we think, but we see it. And wow, we're involved in accomplishing something. And it's a best workplace environment. John says, so your joy will be full. So God, it's one way that God blesses us and works in our life. All right. So then he says, what are his commandments? And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and we love one another just as he has commanded us. You know, John sometimes talks in circles a little bit, right? And he's got this circular logic going on. How shall we know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before God? Well, when our heart doesn't condemn us, and when we are keeping his commandments, which is to believe in Jesus Christ and to love one another, we see God at work through our involvement. Right? And when that happens, then we know, hey, we have confidence before God. Our heart is aligned with God. Believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. This is not a small thing, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, there are lots of Christians in America that can let go of that doctrine, that do let go of that doctrine, that he's really not the Son of God. He's really not God. And, you know, Jesus is a stone of stumbling, and everybody has to make a decision about Jesus, right? And it's easy enough to say, you know, God, Jesus, he was a good man, right? He gave us a great example. He taught us how to love one another. But, you know, when you push the Son of God stuff, just forget it. I'm not going to buy into that. And, you know, when you push the Son of God stuff, what you're doing is you're trying to divide America, right? Because when we believe in the name of Jesus as the Son of God, that brings some allegiance, and it brings some accountability to it. It brings some authority to it. It means he gets to speak into our lives and what's going on. And we just don't like that very much. And so we just like, yeah, you know, he's really not the Son of God. We can let go of that. There's a guy that writes for the New York Times, Nicholas Kristof. And I think he thinks he's a Christian, right? Identifies, in fact, he wrote about it in Today's, not about this exact deal, but he wrote about Christianity Today. He speaks as an authority about Christianity. And he's like, you know, I can't buy into the virgin birth, the resurrection, you know, maybe not. Miracles, absolutely no way. You know, and we take Jesus out of Christianity, there's no Christianity. That we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. And all that means, right, that he is God. He's related to God. He's the Messiah. He's the King, right? And he exemplifies God. He manifested God to us. He is God, an exact representation of manifestation of God to us. And that we love our brothers. Two commandments, he says. All right? We believe in Jesus and we love our brothers. And loving our brothers, we learned last week, okay, to freely sacrifice what we have for the good of another. And if we're freely sacrificing, letting go of what we have for the good of another that has need. All right, those are the commandments of God. And if we do it with a pure heart, right, with a heart that doesn't condemn us, then we're in the best Christian workplace, the best workplace. So how do we do this? Back to the, does our heart condemn us? We need to have a heart-to-heart discussion with our heart. All right? John goes on, he says, whoever keeps his commandments abides in God. Okay? Fellowship. And God in him. Fellowship. And by this we know that he abides in us by his Spirit whom he has given us. So God's given us his Spirit. And God, the Spirit, talks to our heart, right? And so we need to have a heart-to-heart discussion with our heart together with the Holy Spirit. All right, and the Spirit's talking to us about the things of God. Paul talks about that, right? The Spirit tells us he understands things of God, so he communicates things of God to us. And so our spirit, our heart, hears those things from the Spirit. And then does our heart condemn us, or does it not condemn us? Am I responding to the Spirit? Am I listening to the Spirit? Or are my motives godly? Because God has given me his Spirit. You know, and Paul says that the Spirit prays for us when we don't know how, right? He understands our weaknesses and he prays for us. The Spirit is involved in this communication with God, which John is talking about, communication with God. So it's a circular thing, right? That the Spirit talks to my heart, I talk to my heart changes, and my motivations, my heart begins to align with God. And that's what John wants us to do. How do we know that we are of the truth and can put our heart at rest before God? So we have a heart-to-heart with our heart, right? We challenge our motives. We say, Alan, what's going on inside of your life? Are you listening to the Holy Spirit? Is my heart talking, you know, is my heart saying, you know, and the thing about this is sometimes I can convince myself that I have good motives, right? I can say, yeah, you know, I'm not doing that because I don't have, well, we'll talk about that in a minute, but I can convince myself that I have good motives, but I have to listen to the Spirit and let the Spirit talk to me and let the Spirit work into my heart, right, and transform me so that my heart doesn't condemn me. And then I believe and I obey through loving my brother. You know, sometimes, are y'all lost or not? I'm kind of lost. Yes, no, yes, yeah, yeah, Colleen, you are? That's okay, all right. We need to give, right? We need to give. We need to love others. We do. We need to believe in Jesus and we need to love others. And we need to do it with the right motive. That's what John's saying. And when you do that, you're going to experience good fellowship with God. And the Holy Spirit's going to work in our hearts to help us examine our motives. And that won't happen unless we have a heart-to-heart with our heart. We've got to talk to our heart, right? Now, I might have bad motives. And God wants, you know, Paul says, if I give everything I've got and I don't have love, it doesn't profit me anything. I need to have good motives. And some people say, you know what? I'm not going to do that because I've got a bad attitude. And I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I'm not going to give my money. I'm not going to give all that I have. I'm not going to give my body to be burned because I got a bad attitude, right? I know I've got bad motives, so I'm not going to do that. And John's not saying that. John's not saying that. John's saying you need to have a good attitude, Alan. You need to be right about this. You need to have pure motives, right? So you just give, and you give with bad motives, right? If you give, all right? But the blessing comes when you have good motives, when your heart's aligned with God. And it also makes us useful for his kingdom because we're participating with God in what he's doing. So how do we have a heart-to-heart with our heart with the Holy Spirit? You know, the Holy Spirit's given us the scripture, right? And he says, you know, the word of God's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, pierces, you know, into our inner person, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So we read, and then we bring our heart into the scripture as we read it. And sometimes in morning devotions, you know, whenever we have devotions, if we do, right, we just read. We read. Yeah, okay, I got that. You know, we got it up here. We read it, but we don't engage it. And God, this Holy Spirit, uses this to talk to us, and it's communication. And when we read, we should bring our heart into it. You know, Alan, wow, this doesn't describe you very well. Alan, he's talking about some belief here that you really don't have. Or Alan, he's, then these disciples, he's teaching them something, and you probably wouldn't do that if you were one of them. You know, what's going on with you? What is going on with your heart? Are you afraid? Do you have fear? Do you have insecurities? Do you not trust God? Are you believing a lie? You know, there's this, you know, Jesus definitely doesn't like that, but you're doing it, Alan. Do you not believe that he doesn't like that in your life? Right? Jesus, whatever it might be, the Holy, when we read the scripture, to allow the Holy Spirit to engage us, that we have a heart-to-heart with our heart in the presence of the Holy Spirit. You know, there's a lot of noise out there today. A lot of noise. We get bombarded with opinions and news. And I'm not so sure that the smartphone and social media is not Satan's counter to the Holy Spirit, right? Because it's always there. And when we're at the doctor's office waiting to go in, right? When we're at the grocery store and there's a line, we pull out our phone and we check to see our email or what's going on. And we are bringing all this noise into our life. And it begins to shape our heart. And we need to be careful because a lot of it's not true. And we begin to buy into it. But the Spirit, God's given us His Spirit, and our challenge is to engage the Spirit, to check in with the Spirit, and let the Spirit help us have a heart-to-heart with our heart. All right? And next week, Dean may talk some. John talks about the Spirit next week. John, 1 John 4:4, it's the very first verse I ever learned as a child. The very first verse I ever learned. Dean's going to talk about next week. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So, how do we know we're of the truth and can reassure our heart before God? Have a heart-to-heart with our heart while we are believing in Jesus and while we're doing good, while we're loving our brother. And as God transforms us, our hearts can be assured, put at rest before God. Okay, let me pray for us. Lord God, thanks so much for your scripture that teaches us. Lord, help us, help me, Lord, to be engaged with you through your Spirit so that my heart can be at rest before you. That when I stand before you, my heart won't condemn me. Lord, that's my desire, that my motives and your motives would align with each other. And Lord, I pray for Creekside Bible Church that it would have a heart for you, that as it does what it does here in this part of Montgomery County, Lord, that it would seek your will, it would seek your heart, and it would be done out of a pure motive of love for this community and love for one another, and that folks would see it and they would respond to you and find life. So, Lord, I pray that for this church. I pray that for these individuals here, and I pray it for myself and for my family. Lord, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.